Good morning. I'm going to ask you all to take your Bibles, cell phones, tablets, mobile devices, whatever you use to read God's Word, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 34 through 39. So that's Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 39. Before we read these passages, I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. So bow your head with me as we go to the throne. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks to you today for this day that you've made and allowed us to take part in. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the ability, the access to fellowship with you and your people here this morning. Father, I pray that as I speak to your people here, that you would take me and place me behind the cross, Lord. Let the words that come out of my mouth not be my own, but yours, Lord. Father, may I not be seen, but you be glorified with the organization and ministry of Rise Above Poverty. I also pray, Lord, that you go before Pastor Tony as he makes his way to the airport. We pray, Lord, that you go before him and his travels to Colorado. We pray that the travels will be safe. We pray that you go before the pilots, that they will remember all that they've been trained and instructed to do, and we just pray that the weather will be smooth sailing as they make their way to and from. And we just pray that his time at the missionary conference is fruitful and edifying for you and your people, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. These are some verses that the Lord spoke to me when Rise Above Poverty was being created by him. Then the Lord will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" 3 years ago, I was at my job at BNY Mellon Bank. I was in banking at that time. And I was reading this article on Syracuse.com, and the headlines were, "Syracuse City School District is number one for the number of homeless students in the state outside of New York City." So I read the article, and I immediately went numb. Out of 25,000 students in the district, 2,500 of them were homeless. But the article went a little further, so it talked about homelessness, but it talked about poverty, and one of the schools mentioned in the article, which is Brighton Academy, formerly known as Danforth Middle School, the poverty rate was 75%. So I said, 75%? That is crazy. And so I read the article a second time, because I just thought I misread the information, because those statistics were just so numbing. After reading it a second time, I called my wife. I said, "Hey, you gotta read this article." So she read the article. Missed her reading article, she called me back. I was reading it a third time. And while I was reading, the Lord said, "Reggie, I want you to help these students." And all I could say was, "Okay." So my wife called me back after reading the article, and I said to her, "Honey, I think the Lord wants me to do something for these students." And she's like, "What?" I said, "I don't know. He just wants me to do something for them." And she says, "Well, whatever you decide to do, I'll support you 100%. So after reading the article, there was a caseworker mentioned in the article at Danforth. So I went to the school and I sat down with her and I met with her and we started talking. And so I said to her, "Miss Perkins," this is how naive I was about homelessness and poverty. I said, "Miss Perkins, I don't see any kids sleeping on park benches or under bridges. I don't see that type of homelessness. And she said, Mr. Kelly, homelessness is simply defined as not having your own permanent place of residency. She says, so what you have is students living with one relative for one or two nights, and then they're going to another relative's or friend's house for another two nights, and so on. They don't have their own place to call their own. They don't have their own bed. They don't have a place to wash their clothes. They don't have a place to bathe. That's what homelessness is. And so 3 years ago, I was embarrassed, naive about homelessness and poverty. As we began to talk some more about the situation, I asked her, well, how can I help you help your students? And she said, you can help me, Mr. Kelly, simply by providing me with some of the basic items that you and I take for granted on a day-to-day basis. Soap, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes. A lot of my kids come to school without socks. Many of them come without clean underwear and underwear at all at sometimes. And she says, in the wintertime, we have a lot of students that come to school without coats. And I'm looking at her like, in Syracuse? And she goes, I know what you're thinking. Yes, in Syracuse, I have a lot of kids that come to school without coats. So after meeting with her, I got in my car, and the first thing I did was, like, I prayed. I said, Lord, what would you have me to do? How am I going to help this teacher in this school with the stuff she's asking? The Lord said, I want you to ask your family and your friends to donate some of the stuff that she asked you for. And so from there, that's how Rise Above Poverty came into existence. It was created by the Lord, and he's just asked me to do it. So what is Rise Above Poverty? Now, Rise Above Poverty is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that operates in the Syracuse City School District. We were established nearly 3 years ago, May 26, 2017, after the Lord asked me to help students at Danforth Middle School. We collect and distribute toiletry items, clothes such as socks, underwear, winter coats, as I mentioned before. We've done a lot of clothing items, but we narrowed it down to those basic essentials. But we get those items and we deliver them and donate them to schools that have need. We help not only students, but we help students, schools, and families. So if you have a student coming from a background of poverty, most likely the family is in it as well. So we also provide resources to families in need. Our purpose is simply to bring community awareness and engagement to the social economic issue of poverty in the Syracuse City School District. As I stated, prior to starting Rise Above Poverty, I had no idea what the poverty levels were in the Syracuse City School District. And even now, I don't know what the statistics are in all the schools. I just know the statistics in the schools that we help. How do you define poverty? I wrestled with this from the exception of poverty. We know what it is when we kind of see it, but we don't have a clear definition. So I put a little bit of what I found out to be true about poverty. Poverty is defined as having a lack of monetary resources necessary to meet basic needs, such as food, clothing, and shelter. Lacking the access to those resources to alleviate the effects of poverty. Poverty is a pervasive problem that has devastating consequences for children that is associated with their physical, emotional, and sociological issues. Again, these are items that's not often talked about, but many kids in poverty come from homes where there's no food security. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. I just met with a caseworker this week who said, I have kids that come to school without a coat, but they'd rather come to school without a coat because if they don't, they're not going to eat. So let that sink in. They'll walk to school in a Syracuse winter without a coat because they know they won't eat if they don't. Many kids in poverty suffer from obesity because they're not eating the healthy foods that they ought to be. And because of the neighborhoods that they live in, they don't have access to recreation programs, parks to be able to get out and exercise. And so that creates more health problems because they're not able to exercise and maintain healthy bodies. Emotional issues, many children who suffer from poverty are withdrawn in the classroom because poverty affects one's ability to think. When you're hungry, you're not able to think about what the lesson is in class. When you're hungry, you're not able to focus on whatever your homework assignment is. When you're living in poverty, you may not have access to a table to do your homework. These are all situations that I receive firsthand from the caseworkers that we deal with in the Syracuse City School District. Other issues that come as a result of poverty is dealing with toxic stress. It's a new medical term, but it's one that affects children the most, and this leads to behavior problems such as sleep disorders, ADHD, depression, and if you're not aware of it, do some research on suicide. Suicide among kids and teenagers is steadily rising. Why? Because of poverty. When you're going to school with the same clothes on for 3 or 4 days, most likely you're gonna be picked on by your peers, by other students. And this is why suicide is rapidly growing in our area. 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, there was 2 students in Cicero, North Syracuse that committed suicide. To me, that's big news, but it seemed like it was discussed and then we haven't heard anything else about it. But it should be alarming to us when we have 2 young people within the same school taking their lives. So, why did I create Rise Above Poverty? First of all, I created, again, to be obedient to the Lord. In James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, this is a verse that the Lord spoke to me about, and it really stepped on my toes. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace and be filled and warm, but you don't give them what you need, what good is that? What good is that if we tell someone who we see have a need to go in peace? We give them this fake prayer where it's not sincere. We're just mouthing the words because they know we're Christian. We go to church. So we mouth these words. Oh, go in peace. You'll be all right. God bless you. But we don't do anything about it. That's not good. That's not what God has called us to do as Christians. We're supposed to be the ones with compassion. We're to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world where people live in darkness and despair. And let me tell you, people who live in poverty and don't know Christ, they are living in despair and darkness. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28 says, do not withhold good to those whom it is due, especially when it's in the power of your hands to do so. When I think of children, I think they are the most vulnerable of people. And when they don't have access to the things that they need to function, it's within our power, those of us who have the ability and the resources to help them to do so. And I believe that God is calling us to do so. You know, I don't believe in coincidence. So when I see a person, a child walking across the street and they don't have a coat on, my first instinct is, what can I do to help them? Lord, what would you have me to do? Even now when I see adults panhandling on the corner, I ask the Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, I'll be honest with you. Do I give money to those who I see in the corners? No. But what I do is make sure I'll send money to the rescue mission because I know that organization provides meals, shelter, and most importantly, the word of God. And I believe that's what God wants us to do with people who we cross in our day-to-day life. What would you have me to do, Father, to help that person? Next, why I created it, we have schools, students, and family that needs help. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to look at those statistics because I think it would be better if you read them instead of me reading them off to you. I can tell you those poverty statistics are pretty accurate because we get them from the Syracuse City School District, but the homeless figures up there are skewed. Why? Because many people don't want to share their business. They don't want you to know that they're homeless. You know, they're afraid that their kids might get kicked out of the school that they're in because they're not in the district, or they just have a privacy issue. I don't want people to know that I'm homeless, that I'm struggling, this is how I'm living. So while the poverty statistics are pretty accurate, the homeless levels up there on that screen is inaccurate. And many caseworkers in schools will tell you that. But this is the second reason why I created Rise Above Poverty, because there is a need out there. And for whatever reason, it's silent in our government, whether it's local or city or state. We're not addressing an issue that affects many children in our district. So how do we help? At Rise Above Poverty, we help because throughout the year by having specific collections that the school needs. So if a school needs deodorant, we have a hygiene drive in July. And from that drive, we hope to get tons of deodorant from the community, whether it's neighborhoods, places of worship, places of community groups, several members of my board team. We all work basically, and we reach out to our employers. And so what we'll do is we'll reach out to all these different organizations and groups and say, hey, we're having a collection drive for hygiene items. And during the month, for example, in July when we have our hygiene drive, we'll ask for the soap, deodorant, toothpaste, and toothbrushes. And we'll create an inventory from those drives so we can get them into our schools. We also share with the community the effects financially as well as socially that these students endure from poverty. Again, it's not talked about enough in our communities where people don't know what our kids are going through and the things that they face living in poverty. So we try to bring awareness to that with brochures, newsletters, anything that we can show that is factual that's happening to our students in the school district, we put that out. And I also want to add that for most of the members on my team, we don't have kids in the school district. We do this out of love and obedience to Christ. So for us, it's definitely a passion because we don't have any children vested in the school district currently for the most part. We have one member that has three children in the school district, but for the majority of us, we do not have any children there. And last, how do we help? We explore possibilities to collaborate with churches, as I mentioned earlier, businesses and other community groups to put together fundraiser events. So, for example, if Syracuse Alliance wanted to collect, and I'll save that. No, I won't. If Syracuse Alliance wanted to help us out next month, we're doing a Femdom Care Drive. Because many young ladies in the school district, if they don't have these products at home, they'll miss 3 or 4 days of school. Again, this is not something that's talked about often, but if you go into the schools and speak to the caseworkers specifically, they'll share with you that if a young lady does not have feminine care products at home, they're most likely to miss 3 or 4 days of school each and every month. The schools are giving those products in school, but if they're on, if it's over a weekend or over spring or winter break, if they don't have those products at home, they're gonna miss school. And so Rise Above Poverty, we want to alleviate that problem by having a collection where we can donate those items to schools so they can get them in the hands of these ladies that need them. So how can you help us help others? First is donate the items that we're collecting, as I mentioned earlier. Second, donate the money to us so we can purchase the items that we're collecting. And usually I don't like that method because it doesn't really resonate with people when they give money. It's easy for me to come out of my pocket and give you a $5 bill to buy those items. But I would rather people go out to the store themselves and make the purchases because it resonates more with them when they realize that they're buying a pack of socks for a student that don't have socks or underwear. Same thing with toiletry items. When you're brushing your teeth and you're like, oh, I gotta buy deodorant for Rise Above Poverty. I mean, brushing your teeth and say, I gotta buy toothpaste for Rise Above Poverty. Why? Because you probably realize at that moment there's someone out there that doesn't have the ability to brush their teeth this morning. So that's what we do at Rise Above Poverty. And I just want to share a little bit with you about God's goodness and grace. In 3 short years, we've gone from one school to six schools. We started out storing donations in my home 3 years ago, and within 2 years, God has just incredibly blessed us with an office of our own. We now have room to have an inventory for our hygiene items as well as clothing items. And by God's glory, he's blessed us with the opportunity to have a reading clinic this summer. The reading clinic is going to be set up to help students at 2 schools in Delaware and Seymour to help third graders read better. In those 2 schools, only 8% and 11% of their third graders passed the state English test. Let that sink in. 8 and 11% of their third graders pass the state reading test for third grade. So we want to help them out. We want to help these young people inspire. I truly believe that poverty can be addressed through education. And so as the Lord shifts our focus from, you know, simply collecting and donating supplies to schools to now education, I'm incredibly thankful for His grace to supply us everything that we need. So it's given us office space, it's given us a vision to educate people. And the last but most important part of it is we want to use this opportunity to share Christ with those who come through our doors during the reading clinic. I tell people all the time, Rise Above Poverty, while it's not marked as a Christian donation, a Christian organization, I am a Christian, so everything that I do is Christ-like. And so our purpose is to praise God and exhort Him through whatever means necessary through Rise Above Poverty. As I close, I just have a question for you. Will you, next time you pass someone that looks like they're living in despair, in darkness, will you stop and find out what could you do to help them? You don't necessarily have to go to that person. You could just stop and say, Lord, what would you have me do for this person? Doesn't have to be on a street corner. It could be on your job. Could be in a church. Everybody in church isn't saved, amen? Amen. You know, ask the Lord, what would you have me do, Lord, to help this person? Because God has placed people in our lives not by accident. I don't believe in accidents or coincidence. It's all divine. God wants us as His people to reach out, be the hands and feet to a lost and dying world. And to those who live in poverty and don't know Christ, they are living in a lost, dark world. Let us also remember that every time we serve the Lord, it's an opportunity for us to lay down our lives for someone else. It's also a time to submit our will unto His will. And last but not least, reflect our Savior in what we're doing. When we serve God with a cheerful heart, I believe we reflect Christ to the world. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles again and go back to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read verse 40, and this will be my final comment. And the king will answer them and say to them, Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we take time out of our lives to serve someone else, we're not only serving that person, but we're really serving the Lord. We're making an investment in His kingdom. Amen? Father, I just thank you for this day, this time, and this opportunity to share your ministry, Rise Above Poverty. Father, I pray that as we continue to serve you in this capacity, I pray that you would move upon your people here at Syracuse Alliance and speak to their hearts just as you did me 3 years ago. Father, we know there are many people in our sphere of influence that need your help. Just as the scriptures we read indicate, there are many people around us that are hungry. There are many people around us that are thirsty and destitute and in prison. And not just prison in meaning jails or legal systems, but in prison because they're slaves to Satan, the evil one. Father, I pray that you would help us desire to share your word, your goodness, your grace, your love, your compassion with others, Lord, as we go to and from in this world. And I ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reggie, for sharing that with us. I'm sure that many of you think about us in terms of the Christian Missionary Alliance, as Tony has mentioned, that we really had a strong focus over the years in terms of global outreach. Many of you know those who have gone from our group right here. to go overseas in the ministries that they've had. Many of you have gone on short-term trips to reach people nationally, but mostly internationally, to share Christ with them. Reggie has really done a remarkable job, a stunning job, a pointed job in terms of reminding us about our community around us, the level of poverty, 80-90% in these schools, homelessness rate of 10-15% in these schools. And, you know, if you think about A.B. Simpson, when he first started his ministry in New York City, he had an impact upon the dock workers, people who were in the city. He really wanted to reach out to those people in that city. And so in terms of our part of our denomination, part of our church is reaching out to people in this community. Perhaps there's things that Reggie has shared with you. There's certain things that I can certainly identify as like to really have to stop and think about those people who you might be encountering, you might be meeting in the as you're walking along or you're seeing or in different ways, to think about what can you do for them. Certainly Reggie has shared many wonderful things, good things that, you know, that that one can do, but I think particularly that we should be thinking about what God wants us to do in our own hearts and our own lives. I'm sure this is something which Tony, through the first service, I was impressed by, challenged by, and so I think that we'll see what how God leads Tony and leads the elders as we go forward. I'd like to just pray right now. Father God, I do thank you. Thank you for how you spoke to Reggie and his wife and the team that he has in terms of reaching out to those in our community, particularly those in the schools, how he's gone from 1 to 6 schools, how he has done many things which are material in nature, perhaps the toiletry collections, the feminine care collections that he's going to be starting, but also for how he wants to be able to share you with those people that he meets. I pray that he can be effective. I pray that you can give him wisdom and vision and just to know what is the best way to use the resources that he has. Perhaps guide us ways that we can help them and be involved in different ways, be it volunteering, donating, contributing, helping in different ways. But I really do pray, Lord God, that you bless Reggie and his ministry. I pray that you'd guide us in our church for the opportunities that we have to share, to feed, to care for those who are in need around us. Just pray that you will bless this day. Again, I pray also, as been prayed before, for Tony, as he's flying to Colorado for this missions conference. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's reflect on Jesus' model of ministering compassion through the last song.